What's News? I'm Charlie Turner for the Wall Street Journal in New York. This week packs plenty of economic data. Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Morath says the highlight of the week will certainly be the latest payroll data out on Friday.
Absolutely. It's the October jobs report coming off of last month's report with a 49-year low. We're going to look to see if wages are increasing in October.
We'll have the details, but first, here are some top stories. After a bruising week for Wall Street, the stock market will be closely watched. Tech stocks took the brunt of the selling last week, and with that in mind, Apple's quarterly earnings report on Thursday will command a lot of attention. The Wall Street Journal's Trip Mickle writes that a year after leaning on its high-priced iPhone X to ignite iPhone sales, Apple may need the lower-priced successor, the XR, to perform the same trick. The XR, which is the cheapest of the three new iPhones Apple introduced this year, hit stores Friday with a starting price of $749. Apple could rely on the XR for unit sales growth because consumers may not want to pay $1,000 or more for the XS and XS Max it released in September. It's widely believed that a college degree is essential to boosting one's employment prospects. But according to a report by Burning Glass Technologies, a labor analytics firm, 43% of college graduates are underemployed in their first job. Of those, roughly two-thirds remain in jobs that don't require college degrees 5 years later. And in terms of landing graduates jobs that actually require college degrees, some of those more vocationally geared majors, like fitness studies, criminal justice, and business, can actually leave those more underemployed than if they pursued English or gender studies. Are consumers finally saying enough to higher prices by retailers? The Wall Street Journal says the answer could be yes, if a can of paint is any indication. Home Depot says the number one DIY or do-it-yourself project is painting, and paints have been one of the company's best-selling lines. But PPG, Home Depot's biggest paint supplier, has been rapidly raising prices for a gallon of paint, as has its rival Sherwin-Williams. And this week, PPG said it noticed a slowdown in DIY growth. Perhaps a blip, but also maybe a suggestion that consumers will balk when price tags get too steep. Coming up, The Wall Street Journal's Eric Morath previews this week's economic calendar with Anne-Marie Fertoli. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal.
The big news on this week's economic calendar is the October jobs report out on Friday. But there's also plenty of data to parse before then, including personal income and outlays and consumer confidence. Joining us now from Washington with the details is Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Morath. Eric, let's begin with some of the key indicators out this week. We have personal income and outlays on Monday, which can offer us some clues about how consumers are spending versus saving.
Yeah, we'll be looking for that report to tell us, are consumers continuing to, open up their wallets and their bank accounts and spend what's been improving income this year, or will they show a little bit of caution as we enter the final stretch of the year? The other big thing to watch in this report is the inflation data. This is actually produces the Federal Reserve's favorite inflation gauge. And as we see other signs that price increases are cooling off, that could possibly give the Fed some leeway to say, oh, maybe we don't need to be as aggressive about interest rates. Of course, the whole monetary policy dynamic has been turned on its head now that the president is openly lobbying for lower interest rates. And that kind of leads us to watch to see if the Fed will react to him or react to the economic numbers.
So plenty to look for there. And right after that report, we'll get the latest on consumer confidence the very next day on Tuesday. Consumer confidence hit an 18-year high in September, but can that momentum continue? Trade and tariff concerns don't seem to be weighing on consumers that heavily yet, but is it only a matter of time before we start to see that impact?
Yeah, we haven't seen consumers react to the news about the trade wars, if you will. They seem to be reacting to the news of the unemployment rate is extremely low and wages are rising, and kind of the stuff they see day to day matters to them more. It sort of remains to be seen. What we haven't really seen is the translation to trade tensions, to prices at, your grocery store, at Walmart, at Target. And that's going to still take a while to filter through the system, maybe even until next year. So right now, I'll be looking for this November number to kind of tell us how are consumers feeling, importantly, as they're about to head to the polls for the midterm elections. If they're feeling good about the economy, they might support the president's allies. If they are becoming a little bit more uneasy, they might look for solid alternatives.
Let's jump ahead to Thursday, which brings a couple of reports: productivity and costs, PMI and ISM manufacturing indexes, and construction spending. Eric, what will you be looking for in the data out on Thursday?
What I most closely watch on Thursday will be the productivity numbers. So that's kind of the key to long-term economic growth, is if workers can become more productive and produce more, then the economy has the ability to grow and expand without the risk of overheating. So we've seen an upturn in business investment earlier this year, and so we want to see if that investment in new machines and equipment is making workers more productive and can sustain this economic expansion, or if we still have what's been really sluggish productivity numbers really over the past decade.
And let's talk about the report everyone's waiting for this week. That's the October jobs report. The Federal Reserve is keeping a close eye on wages and inflation, among other factors. What are you going to be zeroing in on for this report?
Yeah, I think this report really is going to be all about wages. So last month, we saw the unemployment rate fall to a 49-year low, and everyone's asking for a raise, right? It feels like, at least. So, you know, some of the economists are projecting that we will eclipse 3% wage growth for the first time since 2009. That would be a sign that a low unemployment rate is giving workers more bargaining power, and that's more money in their pocket. So that's certainly a positive sign for workers and consumers. As you sort of alluded to, the kind of open question is, how does the Fed react to that? Do they view rising wages as a precursor to inflation and feel they need to become more aggressive with interest rates? Or as we talked about, will they find some comfort in the latest inflation gauges showing, really, with gas prices kind of abating, you know, the pressure's off a little bit?
In addition to the jobs report on Friday, we also have a slew of other data: international trade, factory orders, and motor vehicle sales. Now, automakers have been concerned about the impact of tariffs on raw materials costs. How have rising costs been impacting their sales this year?
Yeah, we're still kind of looking to see if those prices flow through to the actual cost of a car. What happened was, a lot of industries that saw that they'd be impacted by tariffs bought ahead. They got ahead. Like, they heard the prices were going up, and they stocked up on supplies. So that means, even though we hear so much talk about these trade disputes, the impact might not be seen until next year. But when that happens, you know, we'll see how that affects the cost of vehicles. Americans have had a strong appetite in recent years for what tend to be more expensive vehicles, like pickup trucks and big SUVs. If those prices, though, go up and gas prices, you know, remain modestly higher than they were a few years ago, that could really weigh on the cash cows for the auto industry.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Morath with a preview of this week's economic calendar. Thanks so much, Eric.
Sure. Happy to join you.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.